On September 23, 1988, in Louisville, Kentucky, Melvin Ignito recruited his ex-girlfriend, Mary Ann Shore, to help him kill his current girlfriend, Brenda Schaefer. He had been carefully planning her murder for a while, and now was the time to act. Melvin held Brenda at gunpoint before taking her to Shore's house. He raped and tortured her for several hours while Shore stood by, taking several pictures. Melvin killed Brenda with a chloroform-soaked cloth. They then buried her in a shallow grave behind Shore's home. Everyone in the community was sure that Melvin had killed Brenda, but when her body was finally dug up 14 months later, there was no conclusive evidence that clearly tied him to her death. Marianne's actions at the trial, coupled with skillful work by his defense attorney, led to Melvin being acquitted of Brenda's murder. But did he really get away with it? Welcome to History's Biggest Villains. Melvin Ignito was born on March 26, 1938 in Pennsylvania. He eventually moved to Louisville, Kentucky, where he worked in business. His life was relatively normal when he met Brenda Schaefer, a doctor's assistant, in late 1986. The two went on a blind date together before getting into a relationship. Melvin was a very arrogant man who often boasted of his travels in his former import-export business. He owned several expensive watches, a new Corvette, and a 36-foot boat. Soon after he met Brenda, he asked to marry her. Schaefer initially wasn't convinced, but she greatly appreciated the attention and the financial security that he provided. Eventually, she relented, and they were engaged. But after 2 years together, Schaefer began hinting to co-workers and family members that Ignito was abusive. In the weeks leading up to her disappearance, Brenda began to complain about his behavior. Schaefer once told a friend, Linda Love, a story that she found difficult to believe. Brenda said that once during a vacation with Melvin, she had awoken to find him holding a chloroform-soaked cloth to her face. "I just wanted you to relax. It's something to help you sleep," he said to her. Brenda had told her friends and family that she hated Melvin and wanted to break up with him. Melvin got wind of this and became incensed. Although he was engaged to Brenda, he had been frequently sleeping with his ex-girlfriend, Mary Ann Shore, on the side. Mary Ann and Melvin were on and off for about a decade at this point, as she constantly tried to win him over and steal him from his fiance. So it was only right that she would jump at the opportunity to help Melvin get rid of Brenda for good. Ignito and Shore decided that the murder would happen at Shore's house. The two spent weeks making plans that included digging a grave in Shore's backyard and soundproofing the house. On September 24th, 1988, Schaefer met up with Ignito to return the jewelry that he had given her. Instead, he took Brenda at gunpoint and drove her to Shore's home. There, he tied her to a glass coffee table, stripping her naked, blindfolding and gagging her. Mary Ann stood by, taking several photos as he raped and tortured Brenda before finally killing her with a chloroform-soaked cloth. They then buried Brenda's body in the pre-dug grave in the backyard. Melvin then took Brenda's jewelry and the film of the photos Mary Ann had taken and hidden them underneath the floorboards of his house. The next day, Brenda was reported missing. Her abandoned car was found near where she lived with her parents. The investigation into her disappearance quickly focused on Melvin. Not only was he the last person known to have been with her, but several irregularities heightened the authorities' interest in Ignito. First, despite his assertions that the relationship was thriving, the investigators soon discovered the contrary reports of Brenda's friends and family. Beyond that, no one close to Brenda trusted him. In the days after Brenda's disappearance, Melvin would come to the Schaefer house, sit in the kitchen with the family and cry, claiming that his life was over and that he couldn't live without Brenda. In some instances, he would silence those that hoped for Brenda's safe return by bluntly saying that he thought she was already dead. After 6 months, the investigation into Brenda's disappearance was grinding to a halt. Although the police and much of the community was convinced that Melvin was responsible for the crime, there was no conclusive evidence that linked him. For months, he had been publicly complaining about the interest the police were taking in his actions leading up to Schaefer's disappearance, accusing them of police state tactics. These tactics, however, hadn't stopped him from dating several other women in the meantime. On March 22, 1989, Ignito received a letter postmarked from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The letter demanded that he reveal the location of Brenda's body, or a gang of Cubans would execute him. The letter also said, "I have arranged for the Cubans to arrive in Louisville 1 week prior to the termination. and remain in Louisville until the contract is completed. Upon proof of your execution, they will receive the remainder of the $15,000 plus $5,000 expense money if that amount is needed. Through his lawyers, Melvin received SWAT team protection. Soon after the court-ordered SWAT protection had been stationed outside his apartment, the primary investigators on the case revealed that they knew all about the letter. In fact, they had already read the letter and reprimanded its author, Dr. William Spaulding, for sending the threat. Spaulding, who was Brenda's employer, had told the police during a previous interview that he intended to send the letter in the hope that the threat would scare Melvin into confessing. Spaulding was devoted to Brenda and had taken the lead organizing the $25,000 reward that was being offered for information. In the months since her disappearance, Spaulding was terrified of Ignato, carrying a handgun at all times in case Melvin attacked him. Melvin had Spaulding arrested for making terroristic threats. During his trial, his defense tried to bring up Brenda's disappearance rather than Spaulding's attempts at intimidation. Again, the nature and health of Melvin and Brenda's relationship was called into question. Ignato again, this time under oath, declared that they had been happily in love. Spaulding was then convicted. As time went on, the investigation had hit a brick wall. With little hope, the police approached Charlie Ricketts, Ignato's attorney, with an offer. If Melvin would testify before a grand jury, he could hold a press conference promoting his cooperation. Melvin, ever eager to prove his innocence, agreed. It was during this hearing that Melvin mentioned Mary Ann Shore for the first time. Investigators then questioned Shore, who was reluctant to answer any questions at first. But as the pressure got to her, she admitted to assisting Melvin in the murder and even led police to where the body was buried. Finally, 14 months after Brenda had gone missing, her body was dug up. There were two bags in the grave, one with her clothes and the other containing her badly decomposed body. There were signs of abuse on the corpse, but the advanced state of decomposition made DNA collection impossible. There was no physical evidence that would point to the cause of death. The investigators convinced Shore to wear a wire, promising only to charge her with tampering of evidence. During their surveillance, Shore told Ignato that the FBI was hounding her and she was afraid the property behind her house was being sold and developed. Melvin was on tape berating her for letting the FBI rattle her and told her he didn't care if they dug up the whole property because the place we dug is not shallow. After this, Melvin Ignato was charged with the murder of Brenda Schaefer. The trial, however, went horribly wrong. First, Melvin's defense team was able to petition the court to move the trial from Louisville to Kenton County, a place with far less angry townsfolk. Although Melvin's conversation with Mary Ann had been recorded, the audio quality was very poor. Charlie Ricketts, Melvin's attorney, was able to reframe several incriminating words in his statement. Site, as in gravesite, became a safe, and that place we dug became that place we got. Charlie then threw out a myriad of wild theories pertaining to how Brenda was killed, and when Mary Ann took the stand, the case against Melvin became even weaker. Mary Ann's very cold and matter-of-fact testimony, along with her large frame and short miniskirt exposing almost all of her legs, creeped out the courtroom. She went on to bluntly explain the crime. Brenda's killing had been planned in advance, down to the last detail. The grave had been dug 2 weeks before the murder, and roughly a week after that, Ignato and Shore had scream-tested the house. Melvin had stood by the road while Shore shrieked, testing whether any passers-by might overhear Schaefer if she put up a fight or yelled. The night before the murder, Melvin dropped off garbage bags, tape, rope, and gloves at the house. Once Brenda arrived at the Shore house with Ignato, having been told she was there to meet someone interested in buying the jewelry he had given her, he told her she was there for sex therapy. Brenda protested and rose to leave, but Melvin demanded that she stay. Fearing for her life, she became obedient, stripping one article of clothing at a time, while Melvin instructed Shore to document each step of the process with the same camera that Brenda had given to him as a birthday present. Once Schaefer was naked, he tied her to a glass coffee table and spent 45 minutes beating and sodomizing her. Shore reported that she took photos of each of these actions, focusing on Schaefer's face and making sure she didn't include Melvin's face in any of the photos. After the first round, Shore took Schaefer to the bathroom and gave her a tissue for her tears. Soon, however, Melvin pulled Schaefer into the bedroom and restrained her to the bed, with her ankles tied over her head. For the next several hours, he raped, beat, and sodomized Schaefer, instructing Shore to participate on occasion. Running out of film, Shore went to the kitchen for a glass of water. Moments later, Melvin entered the kitchen and said it was over. Brenda was dead. The jury returned quickly. The lack of physical evidence, Shore's strange trance-like testimony, and the missing photos weighed in their decision. The jury felt that the prosecution had not met its burden of proof beyond reasonable doubt. Despite an astonished courtroom, the jury found Melvin Ignito not guilty of murder. He was free to go. The judge was so embarrassed by the verdict that he took the unusual route of writing a letter of apology to the Schaefer family. Schaefer's parents died before the trial began. According to some family and friends, their deaths were premature due to the heartbreak and stress of Schaefer's murder. 6 months after the trial, Melvin was living with his mother. He sold his house during the trial to help pay for his legal expenses. After the house sold, the new owners had hired Steve Doherty to replace the carpet. During a routine carpet removal, he discovered a heating vent that had been carefully covered with carpet. When he pulled the carpet up, revealing the vent, he immediately saw a small plastic bag filled with jewelry and rolls of 35mm film. His first instinct in stumbling upon an obvious hiding spot was to cover it back up with a new carpet and forget it existed. He didn't know that this had been Melvin Ignito's house, but he did know that people often don't like to be confronted with their secrets. Instead, he took the bag to the owners, who immediately knew its value. They called the police, who rushed to retrieve and develop the film. 100 smoking guns is what they call the find. Just as Marianne Shore had testified, the photos showed each stage of Schaefer's humiliation and murder, and they also showed a man whose face wasn't visible. But it was apparent to anyone that knew him that the hairy arms and watch depicted in the photos belonged to Melvin Ignito. This discovery was bittersweet, though. As the prosecution team knew, having already been acquitted, Melvin was protected by the double jeopardy law from being tried again for Brenda's murder. The best they could do was charge him with perjury. Once confronted with the photographs, Melvin quickly confessed, then immediately tried to spin his confession into an act of goodwill on his part. He would save the great Commonwealth of Kentucky the time and effort of the chase, and he said he hoped that his confession would bring some level of comfort to the Schaefer family. As he confessed, he turned to Brenda's brothers in court and said that he had killed her, but claimed that she had died peacefully. Wow. In 1992, Melvin pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 8 years and 1 month in prison. After serving 5 years of his sentence, on October 23, 1997, Ignito was indicted on state perjury charges. This was referring to the case against William Spaulding in the letter for which William had been convicted. Melvin was sentenced to 9 more years in prison. Mary Ann Shore died in hospice in 2004. She was 54 years old, and at the time of her death, Melvin had nothing to say. Melvin was released in 2006 and moved in with his son in Louisville, only 4 miles away from the house where he had tortured and killed Brenda Schaefer. Upon his release from prison, he made scathing comments towards the Schaefer family, telling the Courier-Journal, "I don't think they've ever forgiven me. That's between them and the Lord. They placed their own soul in jeopardy by not being able to forgive." These are some very bold comments you're making, sir. On September 1st, 2008, Ignito was found dead in his apartment. He was 70 years old. An autopsy determined that Ignito had died from an accidental fall through a glass coffee table that lacerated his head or his arm, and that he eventually bled to death. The neighbor who found his body stated, "It looked like he had just fell, and he tried to go into the kitchen, and there was a blood trail that way. Then it looked like he tried to make it to his room. Before he made it to his room, that's where they found his body at." His neighbor also described him as a sick and elderly man, alone and struggling for help when he apparently stumbled to his death. "I used to hear him all night, asking for Jesus to come get him because he was in a lot of pain." Melvin's son admits he will probably go down as one of the most hated people in Louisville. "Maybe it'll just put it to rest, that we all won't have to keep dealing with this over and over. That's what I hope." When I first saw this, my first reaction is just, wow. He literally got away with murder. He basically got away with murder. He only really served 14 years in prison for what should have been a life conviction. And the fact that he got away with murder and Marianne got away with murder. And the crazy part is, Marianne basically helped him stay out of prison. And when she died, he doesn't have anything to say about her. He just basically used her. Like, she was so in love with him that he basically used her as a dummy to help him kill a woman. There's no thanks or nothing. Like, that's just crazy. Like he had so much to say about the family. And the fact that he died falling through a coffee table is so ironic. Just based on how he had Brenda tied to the coffee table when he was doing all the crazy stuff to her. All I want to say is RIP Brenda Schaefer. And Mel is you, wow. Like, it's just crazy. Like, he really got away with murder. Like, he really got away with it. That's the wild part. Thank you for watching. I hope you enjoyed this story. Leave a like. Hit that subscribe button if you see the channel. Don't forget to turn on the post notifications if you haven't already. I appreciate all the support you guys have given my channel. Be safe. Stay on the grind. Have a great day. I'm out. Peace.